blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 383, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. All that I am, I owe to thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, hath fashioned me. I give my Maker thankful praise, whose wondrous works my soul amaze. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of 383. scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 96. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 96. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember this morning the mourning families of our sister congregations and also those in our midst of Mr. Willem Vandenbroek and Mr. Henk van Essen Sr., who have passed away in this past week. Also, Mrs. Helen van Worthausen has come home from the hospital and is yet in much pain. And let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we try to draw nigh to thee, and we are those who of ourselves are so carnal. And we draw nigh to thee who will be worshipped as thou art, in spirit and in truth. And the reality of that life that we live, in all our guilt and in all our sin, that is now experienced in the lives of some in our midst, whose relatives, whose grandparents have in the days that have gone by exchanged this time for eternity, and in one moment of time have passed out of this life, and then to enter into that life that never dies, that goes to all eternity, whether it be a living death or an eternal life. Lord, wilt thou remember the mourning families, and that thou mayest stand on the right and on the left also in the week that is before them. But Lord, could it please thee also to instruct us? Thou hast given them to attain unto a great age. But we have seen it also in the weeks that have gone by, that also the very, very young can die. And Lord, we have no impression by nature. We go on. And we go on to our own death. We go on to our own meeting with thee. And these callings, they do not speak unto us, because our hearts, O Lord, they are so hard, and our understanding is so darkened, so that we cannot but for a few moments contemplate what that is to pass from time into eternity. And then we are putting off the day of our death to be far away. And yet we do not know the time or the moment. And then it is all alone, O Lord, the might of the power of thy Spirit that is able to arrest us, that is able to stop us, that is able to make us consider in a saving way. what our awful state and condition is by nature, that we are not able to die and to meet Thee as we have been born. Oh, that Thou may come then in Thy mercy unto young and old in our midst, and that Thou would strike us with an arrow out of Thy word by Thy Spirit in this morning hour, and that we may be given understanding hearts by that new birth that Thou dost give by Thy Spirit. Oh, that Thou may work it also in us and in our dear children, that the callings which come unto us day by day may not testify against us in that great day of days, when this life we shall look back upon, when it shall be but a moment of time in our memory, when it shall be as the shadow that passes away, even as a vapor which appeareth for a little time, O Lord, then we shall see it. When we are looking back upon it, when we are lying upon our deathbeds, when we have to stand before Thy great judgment seat, O, then we shall see it. Then it shall become so plain to us what this life was, that it was a preparation for a great and a never-ending eternity. Then it shall become so evident to us that we were given a little time, and that Thou wast so merciful unto us that Thou hast called us time and time again with the callings of this life, when this one and that one have fallen away before our eyes, and when Thou hast called us in Thy word, and when Thou hast said unto us, why will ye die? Oh, when Thou hast proffered peace and pardon, when Thy dear Son has been set before us, in all the beauty and in all the blessedness wherein He is revealed in His Word, and where Thou dost say unto us, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way. Oh, Lord, remember us all together. Then we need to be wrought upon by Thy Holy Spirit. Oh, how awful shall it be for us, Lord, and when we shall have to give an account of every sermon, and when we shall have to give an account of every word that we have heard and read out of Thy word, an account of every warning of our father and of our mother. Oh, when it shall all testify against us, and when we shall stand at that door that is shut forever, and knocking, open unto us, open unto us. O Lord, look upon us in Thy mercy, and that we be not bound hand and foot and carried away, and cast into that pit of eternal darkness. O grant us a saving impression in this morning, that Thy Spirit may move amongst us, that it may go from heart to heart amongst us, Lord, amongst young and old together. That is what we cannot give to one another. We cannot give it to ourselves for the first time or by renewal. But we see how necessary by times. Oh, we see how important that it is that we are granted a true conversion. Lord, remember us as a congregation then. Remember us as a denomination. Come with Thy Spirit again, as Thou hast in the days of our fathers. And wilt Thou come with power to raise the dead from their spiritual death, and to give life that is a never-ending life. And that Thou mayst so bless Thy word in our midst. Give us as Thy servant freedom and liberty in the preaching of Thy word. Grant us also much of the presence of Thy Spirit in our own soul, O Lord. And wilt Thou come again? Wilt Thou return unto us, even as in days gone by? That Thou would revive Thy own work, and that we also may be a little example in the midst of this flock to lead them and to guide them in Thy way of truth.
and that we may not be a stumbling block in their midst, but that thou may use us as a little instrument in thy holy fingers, and that young and old may be drawn to seek the true and the living God. Oh, look upon thy children, Lord, and wilt thou supply for them, and wilt thou grant them that the hunger and the thirst may be renewed and revived, that cry unto thee may also go up unto the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, and that thou may hear, that thou may come, that thou may forgive all their iniquities, wherein they have gone under every green tree, on every high hill, that they have sought the gods and the idols of this land, all that they have played the harlot, that they have forgotten the days without number. Lord, then it is every day again that they forfeit every right, that thou shouldest look upon them in mercy. But wilt thou open unto them what thou hast provided for them in thy beloved Son, who in all his faithfulness, though his creature had so departed from him in rebellion, that he had said, we will have not thee to reign over us, that he has still come into this flesh, that he has given himself so willingly, that he has suffered, that he has died, and that he has agonized before thee, or that he has even under the iniquity and the sin of thy church, that he has gone forward to fulfill the will of his Father. Oh, that that love may be opened unto thy children, and that the freeness of the blessed grace that he has provided may be opened unto them, that they may be received as sinful and wretched creatures. Look then upon all those who have concern for their soul. Lord, that is not what we have by nature, but oh, that thou may work it with great earnestness in the midst of us, and young and old, that we may not be able to continue on in this world in the way that we have been born, that it may become our burden, even when we are young, that we sin against the Most High God. Oh, that thy goodness and thy long-suffering may be shown unto us all together, that it may humble us before thee, and that we may be brought in the dust of self-abasement. Oh, remember us, Lord, to whom else can we go? Thy power that is so very, very great, thou canst speak the word only, and then it shall become so different in our life. Oh, look on us in mercy then, and all that are afflicted, those that mourn, widows, widowers, and orphans, supply for all that are lonely and all that are in distress in this world, when all the nature also has brought so much upon so many in the week that has gone by, where so many are cast into mourning, when so many are homeless and so many are without food and water and shelter. Oh, that thou may remember them in all their distress. Open the hands of those who have, that we may be given giving unto those who have it not. And that thou may look upon us in thy mercy this day. Lord, strengthen us for this labor. Bless thy word in our midst. Give us opening and liberty therein. And be thou amongst us, feelingly and believingly, undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 374, stanzas 1 through 4. O praise ye the name of Jehovah. Proclaim ye his glory abroad. O praise him, ye servants appointed to stand in the house of our God. We announce that the last collection today is for the school. The seniors' morning in Lethbridge, scheduled for Wednesday, October 7th, has been canceled. visiting for the Vandenbroek family is, the Lord willing, on Monday evening from 7 to 8:30. And the funeral is scheduled for a Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. in Lethbridge. Visiting for the Vanessen family is Tuesday evening. Funeral Wednesday morning in Picture Butte. Psalter 374, stanzas 1 through 4. congregation, last time we heard about the commendation of the bridegroom concerning his bride. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. In his creation, the Lord has spoken of the perfection of the creation and also the crown of creation, that is, of mankind himself. And he has said of man, behold, it is very good. That is, that there was no imperfection, that there was no blemish in the entire creation of God, who is able to fathom that blessedness in which mankind has been created when he was made in the very image of his Maker, in the very image of God, and when he has possessed in himself true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. It was not long after that we read how that man was sent by the Lord out of his immediate presence. It was not long after wherein the Lord has, as it were, declared that he was no longer able to bear that immediate communion of the crown of his creation. And that because of the great contrast between God and man, and that because God himself, he is and remains so very holy, and man, he has become so very, very corrupt. And now that is a contrast that is much greater than the contrast that there is between the most vile beasts in this world and ourselves. Those most vile beasts, boys and girls, that you and I would never want to bring into our home, to be with us, to dwell with us. No, we say we dwell separate from them because they are dirty, because they are filthy. And now that contrast between God and man after his fall, that is a contrast that is so greater than this contrast between man and beast. And something of that great contrast is learned by the church. Did we ever learn it? Did we ever feel something? Something, even the smallest part of the holiness of God over against who we are. And so that we have to say with Job, behold, I am vile. What did Abraham say, the father of the faithful? Then he says, behold, I have taken it upon me to call to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. Ezra says, I am ashamed and I blush to lift up my face unto thee. Or did we ever feel something of this great contrast? Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Then we can understand a little of what is felt in the heart of the bride. How that the bride finds this declaration of the bridegroom to be incomprehensible. How that he is able to say this even of me. Because of that view of herself that she has been given by that Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, we read her answer unto the bridegroom in the words of our text, which we find in the Song of Solomon, the first chapter, the first part of verse 16. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. So far, the words of our text. The bride's answer upon the commendation of her bridegroom. First, behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Second, yea, pleasant. The bride's answer upon the commendation of her bridegroom. First, behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Second, yea, pleasant. What is, congregation, the difference between up and down? They both indicate a direction. And in that they are the same, as both indicating a direction. However, the direction which they indicate is very different. The direction which they indicate is actually opposite. So that there is nothing in common between up and down. That these two things are opposing one another. God is a spirit. Satan is also a spirit. In that, they are alike. And yet these two spirits, they are over against one another. There is nothing in common between the Spirit of God and the spirit of Satan. And they are spirits which have kingdoms. And these two kingdoms, they are opposed to one another, even as up is opposed to down, as light is opposed to darkness, as life that is opposed to death. The work of God and the work of Satan, that is also spiritual. Spiritual wickedness, we read in high places, that is the work of Satan, also in the government, we read in the Word of God. And Satan is coming often as an angel of light to try to mimic, to try to copy the work of God's Spirit in order that he may deceive. In order that he may seem, that he may look to be as God, as the Spirit of God, as the work of God. But just as these two kingdoms are so completely opposed to one another, so is that work of God and the work of that Holy Spirit. These are two things that are completely set over against one another. Their very foundation in the first place is completely different. One that is coming from above and one that is coming from below. One is the spirit of life and one is the spirit of death. We read of that work of God that it is founded upon a rock. We read of that work of Satan that is founded, it is grounded upon the sand. So will the end also of all of this work be shown to be very, very different. In fact, it will be shown to be opposite. But now the evidences, what shows? The evidences of that work of God, they are also opposed to one another. And they are actually as different as up is from down. As different as light is from darkness. The evidences, what is showing from the work of Satan, what is felt from the work of Satan in our soul, and what is showing, what is felt, what is experienced of the work of God in our soul. Those evidences are evidences that are often not showing unto others, at least in an immediate way. The work of the Lord is a work that is beginning in the heart, and the evidences of that work of God, they are felt and they are experienced in the heart. Thus, there is no one that is able to make that examination concerning these evidences except for each one of us personally, because no one of us can enter into our heart. And thus it is for us not to judge, but it is for us to lay out for you those evidences which are felt and which are experienced in the life of the true people of the Lord. In a hypocrite, he is by definition, he is deceitful and deceiving himself and attempting to deceive others. Hypocrite, that means to put on a face. And a hypocrite feels something. He feels something of evidences, the evidences of death. He feels something, how that it is not the true work of the Lord. And yet he puts on in front of this a face before men. But now those evidences, they are a great comfort to that true church of God. Because within their heart there is a concurrence that they are able to go along in an honest and an upright way with what they may read in that holy word of God. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. This is, congregation, the answer now of the bride upon that commendation of the bridegroom. How similar is her answer unto his commendation? He says, behold, thou art fair, my love. She says, behold, thou art fair, my beloved. What is it? It is a returning. It is a returning of that praise, that commendation that she has received from him. Then she will, as it were, return it unto him. She says, as it were, no, not I am fair, my beloved, but she says, thou art fair. She says, if I am indeed fair, it is only because my fairness that has come from thee. It is only because thou art the fountain of all of that fairness. Thus she sees no beauty. She sees no fairness in herself. She does not see herself as the source of anything that is good. Oh, then she sees that if there is anything that is in me, then it is because it has been imputed unto me, because it has been granted unto me. And congregation, this is now what is living in the heart of that people. Is there also such a testimony that is living in your heart? What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am.
By the grace of God only. Why? Because I was and am in myself a persecutor. Because I blasphemed. Because there was nothing from my side. No, it is alone by the grace of God that I am what I am.
The Bible speaks about King Saul. And he speaks about King Saul when he was in the beginning of the way. And it says that there was a time that King Saul was little in his own sight. Little in his own sight. Of course, that was not by the work of the Holy Spirit, but it was in a natural way. Man had a nature that was backward. He went to hide among the stuff. And then, what did the Lord do? The Lord gave him a place. The Lord lifted him up. The Lord, as it were, commended him. The Lord gave him a place of honor. And what happened? Then Saul was lifted up in his own eyes. Is that not how it is with us? Is that not how it is with the natural man? When we receive the praise of one another? Now we speak about evidences. We speak about that which is felt and experienced in the heart. And we ask you, each one, to examine now what is living in our own heart. How is that now with the bride? Because the bridegroom commends her. He praises her. He says, "Behold, thou art fair, my love." And what do you see happens? What is taking place in her heart? Oh, then this commendation, this praise, that does not lift her up. But this praise brings her low. It humbles her so deeply. Do you see the difference between the work of God and the work of Satan? It is as different congregation as up is from down. And that humility is something that is experienced in the soul of God's church. It is something that is known in their life. It is something that is experienced in their heart, even that though they are not able to bring that out, then there will be those in our midst that say, "Amen." That say, "Yes, truly so it is." And that is especially when that people are receiving the favors. When they may receive something of the goodness of the Lord. When the Lord may come. When the Lord may speak. When he may be favorable unto them. What is this doing? This is laying them prostrate upon the ground. What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Or then do we know of this humbling under the favors and the blessings of the Lord in our life? Jacob says, "I am not worthy of all the mercies and of all the truth that thou hast shown unto thy servant. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved." Thus, we read a mutual praising of one another. That is not the same as the praising of wicked men here upon earth of one another. Concerning our conversion, you believe it of me, and I will believe it of you. Concerning all other things, to support one another in our wickedness, you speak well of me, I will speak well of you. You say nothing, I will say nothing. or mutual praise in this life is so often given in dishonesty, that is given often in the highest offices of this world in dishonesty, that is often also within the offices of the church given in dishonesty. And so men go to perdition together. Sheer wickedness. It is to love the praise of men more than the praise of God. God is going to be honest with every one of us. But such a mutual commendation is not the case between the bride and the bridegroom. Far from it. We read of Moses that he sang with Israel, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Then we read of Moses speaking again. He speaks in the name of the Lord concerning Israel. "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. Shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency?" So we read something of the Spirit of the Lord. When he is speaking to his children, the Spirit of the Lord moving his children to return that glory unto God. And then in that mutual commendation, there is such a holiness, there is such a purity. "Behold, thou art fair, my beloved." What a fairness. What a beauty does that church not see in the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, may you ever see it in your life. And when especially can they see that beauty? They see that beauty in a special way when the Lord is bestowing those tokens of his mercy upon them. Then they see it so clearly, and then their heart is so lively, so that their tongue that is as the pen of a ready writer, that they are ready to speak it. That is not only in the application, that is already in the revelation of that Son of God. When they are laying in their need, that they are given to see his fairness, his preciousness, his beauty. He is fair. Why? Because he is so suitable to my own case. Because there is something that is fitting between him and myself. Oh, may you ever see now something of that fairness. Do you ever see him? Do you ever see his fairness as he was already in that covenant of peace? And when he, before that we were ever born, before that we have ever even transgressed, before that we were ever even created, when he has spoken in the ears of his Father, when he has given him an answer upon his question, "Who will go for us?" That he has said unto his Father, "Here am I, send me." Oh, does that Son of God then not appear in his beauty, in his fairness? May you ever see the beauty of the union of his two natures. Were those two natures coming together ever so necessary for your own soul that you yourself may be converted? Was he ever beautiful? Was he ever fair because he was divine and because he was human? Because in his humanity he could pay your price? Because he could suffer for your sin? Was he ever fair? Was he ever precious? Was he ever beautiful in himself? Because his divine nature that was there to undergird his human nature, that he would be able to bear that suffering that you deserved to a great eternity, that he was able to come out of it, that he was able as the God-man to deliver man from all his iniquity, from his sin? Was he ever fair in his innocence? When you lay in all your guilt, and when you are not able to take from yourself that guilt, and when you feel in yourself, even as the Apostle Paul, and that you have a law in your members,
that you are not able to overcome the wretchedness and the sinfulness and the corruption of your own heart, that you see yourself so filthy and so polluted under that holy and that righteous God, and now traveling to meet him at his judgment seat. Oh, may you ever see the fairness of that Son of God in his great innocence. Not one jot, not one tittle of that holy law has he not kept. That he could say, which of you convinceth me of sin? So perfectly holy, and then so received by his Father, that his Father has declared even of him, the Father himself, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, do you ever see the beauty that is in this Son of God? Was he not fair in his resurrection? When the Father saw him as fair, when the Father saw him as he that could not remain in death because of the justice of his law, because the law must release those who are innocent, because the law cannot condemn those who have not sinned against him? Was he ever fair? Also in your own eyes, behold, the bride says, thou art fair, my beloved. The disciples may see him as fair. They may see him as fair in his transfiguration. There they may be, just a few of them. Just those who were selected by the Lord. And they may behold something of his fairness, even when he was in the state of his humiliation, that something of the great glory of the Lord is bestowed on him. And they may see something of his beauty and the shining of his face and of his garment. They may see something of his heavenliness, of his majesty, his fairness. Congregation, may you ever see something of his fairness in his sufferings. May you ever see something of that same fairness, the glory of that Son of God in his sorrows. Did you ever see beauty in his silence? In his silence? In obedience to his Father, when he opened not his mouth, knowing all that was come upon him, with the same human nature as you and I, and then to say that not my will, but thy will be done. Oh, may you ever say with that bride, behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Does that not humble the soul of the guilty ones? Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Did you ever see fairness in his tears? In his tears. When he was despised, and when he was rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Congregation, is there not a people? Is there not a people in our midst whose greatest burden is your separation? Your separation from your Maker? Your separation from God? Is there not a people who walk over this world without hope and without God in the world? Is there not a people whose inward desire is that they might return unto him, and that feel something of that great barrier, that feels something of that great wall
that feel something of that mountain of sin between God and myself, so that I am not able to return unto God. Is there not a people who are burdened with this in your life? And now, are there not those who may see something, who may behold something of beauty in that innocent lamb who has cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Who had to experience that he was separated from his Father, and that sin, not his own sin, but that the sin of his church that was standing as a mountain between God and his soul, that God had to hide his face from him because of the sin of that church. Oh, is there not fairness? Is there not fairness in this blessed, innocent Lamb of God? Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Did you ever see fairness in his sweat, in the spittle that was spit upon his face, in the blood that has come down his cheeks, his head, his back that has gushed out of his side? Did you ever see fairness in this? Because it was a price that was paid for sin. A price that was paid to the judge. A price that was paid to his Father. No, we are not asking you if you know that this price was paid for you. We are not asking this question. We're only asking you this. That is between God and your soul. Have you ever seen fairness in him? Has he ever appeared beautiful unto you? Because of that price that he stood there to pay so willingly. If we have never become guilty before God, we have never seen his beauty. Never. But if now our own blood is required by God, if this we have learned in our life, then there is place for us to see something of that beauty in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Oh, is this also the language of our hearts? Did you ever see beauty in his offices? Herod was a king. Children, Herod was a king. What did he hear? There is a king born. Was he happy? Was not happy. Wanted to kill him. He wanted to remain king. Kings are not happy with kings. And what did we want? What did we say? We said we want to be king. We will be our own God. We will say what is right and wrong. Ye shall be gods, knowing good and evil. That is what we have received. Kings are not happy with kings. What does that mean? That means if we will ever see fairness in him, in this king, that means we must first come off our throne. then it must be that we delight in the law of the Lord. Then it must be that the statutes of this king, they are our meditation day and night. That is necessary in order that we may see the fairness, the beauty in that king. Did he ever teach you as prophet congregation to behold the beauty of his wisdom? The wisdom in dealing with your own soul? The brothers of Joseph did not see that either. No, he had to lead them. Didn't happen overnight. He had to teach them things first. He had to appear to them very stern. He had to withhold himself from them. He had to show them one of his sides that was his office as the judge, as the viceroy. And he had to lead them in a very painful way, a way that was soul-searching. And that took time. Then there came a day that he became so fair. And later on, then they will have been so glad when they have looked back and they have seen every way that their brother Joseph has dealt with them in their life. And they will look upon the wisdom of that Joseph, and they will say, behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Is that your language? Do you ever see the fairness of that mediator? Of a mediator? Well, what is necessary then? Then we need to see something else. Then we need to see that God is angry. Did we ever see that? Did we ever see something of the displeasure of our Maker? Did we ever feel something of His wrath? Was that ever our burden? Did we ever fear Him? And did we ever see something of the fairness of Him whom He had sent into the world in order that He may bring such wretched, sinful creatures back into communion with Himself? Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. All she sees Him as the fountain. She sees Him as the fountain of all her fairness, because there is no limit. There is no limit to the blood. There is no limit to the efficacy of that blood. That it is sufficient to take away the sins of the whole world. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, fair in His invitations to all those who labor under the burden of sin. Was He ever fair to you? When He said, come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest from your burden of sin. Rest from your burden of iniquity and the corruption of your heart. Let us sing. Psalter 124. 1, 2, 7, and 8. My heart doth overflow. A goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue with joyful song doth praise the King divine. 1, 2, 7, and 8 of 124. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Last time, we heard, congregation, about the insufficiency of human language. And that is often to portray what we experience in a natural way, and much more of what that church of God does experience in their soul, that there are not words to be able to express what they have experienced. And now we find that the bride, as she is adding unto her words, and yet we do not find that she is speaking with vain repetitions, because there is a difference between fair and pleasant. Behold, thou art fair, my love, yea, pleasant. Fairness, that is something that I may behold in someone else without relation unto myself. It is true, it is my own estimation of another. So he is fair in my own eyes. That is the way that I see him. But it is possible that when I see that fairness, that I view it with nothing but a burning, nagging jealousy in my heart. Then it is not pleasant. Children, Ahab, he is looking at the field of Naboth. Is that pleasant for him? It is not pleasant at all. He sees it as very fair. He would like to add it unto his own, but it is impossible because Naboth has said no. And he goes on his bed and he cries like a little child. And it is not pleasant for him at all. Now the bride, she beholds that bridegroom. And what does she say? Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Thus, not only does she see his fairness, but her very beholding of his fairness is experienced by her in her heart as something that is pleasant, that's something that is enjoyable. Cannot but be that bride, she is feeling something, that she is knowing something of that fairness also for herself. Has to be. Otherwise, it is not pleasant. Therefore, we say a mark for us to examine ourselves. Do we know what that is, to examine ourselves? That is already in the revealing of Christ to our soul. Because how is that in regeneration? What is my one concern? That is for the need of my soul, that is for the welfare of my soul. Then there is no burden that is so great to me as that I am separated from my Maker, from my Creator. That way is not all pleasant. No, there is much pleasantness in it, that's for sure. Because that drawing unto God, that is so pleasant. But when I have to learn the reality of myself, that is not pleasant. Because there is nothing good to learn. And when I need to be cut off from any way, when I have to see that I have made that separation so permanent and that there is no way for me to return and to make it right anymore, no, that is so far from pleasant. No, you ask the people. Ask them if when they see this one and that one and that one that the Lord is taking and that the Lord is delivering and that the Lord is revealing himself, ask them now if that is pleasant for them. Or they may be happy for that people, or they may be jealous of that people, or they may even be angry in themselves, because everybody else, they receive it. And where does it leave me?
it leaves me with that same need, that I am still on the outside, and that every contemplation of that mediator, then it is possible that I see something of that fairness, but that fairness that is not pleasant to me, that is all for someone else.
Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. How different it is in that moment that the Lord reveals himself to our soul. Why? Because then for the first time in our life, then we experience the truth of the words of the bride. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. And it is the experience of this pleasantness in the beholding of that bridegroom that is proof that there is some opening in it for my own soul. Even though it is but a possibility for me, even though that I cannot embrace him, but there is something pleasant, then I see that there is still a way for me. In hell, congregation, then we do not see Christ as pleasant. No, because there is no possibility for me anymore. Then there is only despair. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Oh, there is such an enjoyment in the contemplation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the need of that people. And that enjoyment that has everything to do with receiving the benefits of that mediator for myself. That is a pleasantness already in that hoping against hope in him. How much more a pleasantness than there is for that people in the application. Because in the marriage, when the Lord says, behold, I am married unto you, what does that mean? That means everything that belongs to that bridegroom that is now belonging to me, and every one of all my infirmities, then my bridegroom, he will take them up upon himself. And they are not yet in the possession of this. No, but they may know now that they have a right to it. Because he has spoken, I am married unto you. Then you understand how that they say, behold, thou art fair, my beloved. What will it be? How pleasant shall it not be for that people when they come one day into his immediate and into his eternal presence? Because now they see through a glass. Now they see darkly, but then they are going to see him face to face. Then they will not only receive his benefit, but then they will come to enjoy the presence of that person himself. Congregation, our lives are full of pleasantness. Full of pleasantness. Is that not right, young people? You read in the newspapers now. You read that in the news. How that the lives of people in this world are destroyed. How that the lives are so full of misery. And what must we say concerning our own life? Spared from all these things and prosperous in our country, prosperous in our time. Did it ever become to you nothing but vanity and vexation of spirit? Naturally, young people, that is not so when we are young. It is not vanity and vexation of spirit. No, that's our everything. Be careful, because it's all changing. And it's all changing very, very fast. As we have also read in the past week, what is coming before the Human Rights Council of the United Nations, decisions that all children, they will have to be instructed in a certain way concerning those who live in sin, and that those who will open their mouth against the sins of our day, that they will be penalized, sanctions against them. Where are we going to stand? This is not 20 years in the future. This is this week. And we know they have no power to put these things in effect at the moment, but only give them the power and all those laws to be in place. And where will we stand? We know that a great tribulation is coming, and congregation, that is not, it cannot be far away. That we are going to have to make a stand. Are we then going to keep our mouth closed against sin because we are going to be punished? This is happening in our day. Yes, we live with much prosperity, and we live with so much pleasantness in this world. But do we realize what is coming? Do you think, young people, that there is no pleasantness in the life of God's children? What do you think? Read the books. Read how that they have left home, how that they have left father and mother and children. Read how that they have given their whole life as martyr. Must there not be something? Must there not be something? Must there not be something that is to them so pleasant, that is such a treasure, that they are willing to give everything, even their own life, for this? It is so. It is so that there is something so pleasant. And that is where we feel short. Because we cannot get it out. Because this tongue, because this language that is not able to express what it is, because this heart that is not where it ought to be in liveliness to express what the pleasantness of that true service of the Lord is. But there is a pleasantness that is experienced, and then in a special way in the contemplation of the blessed Son of God, so that when a person has tasted once in their life that the Lord is gracious, then he is spoiled for this world. Not that his heart will never desire that world again, because that old man that remains, but where this fire is burning, and when that fire is down to ashes, there is still coal. And the Lord, He is able to blow it into a fire in a moment. And that is now, congregation, what we stand in need of. Because on that great day of days, when not only others in their old age, in their youth, are passing away, but you and I also, one moment from living in this world to eternity. Eternity. One moment, and then to be prepared. Then it is necessary that we know something of what this fairness of this bride is, with pleasantness for our own soul. Amen. O Lord, it is too short. For thou art pleasant, thou art fair, but we cannot say it, we cannot express it. It lies not for the fruit in our language, in our expressions. It lies all in thy power, Oh, come, Lord. The time is short. We see it in our world. We read it in thy word. But we are dead. Eyes closed. No desire. Oh, convert us. Our only hope. Become too strong for us, Lord. Remember us in mercy. Bring us safely home. And forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 310, 1, 3, 4, and 5. I love the Lord. For my request and humble plea, he makes his care. In him, through life, my faith shall rest. For he both hears and answers prayer. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 310.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.